This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I mean, we've known for a while how hard Aaron Donald can hit on the field.
Very hard.
Now we know how hard he can hit at practice.
Also very hard.
With helmets. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Field Yates, Jason Fitz hanging out in for the guys, and we joke only because nobody seems to have been seriously injured from it, and because at this point we don't have a lot of indication. But as many of you have seen, what we do know right now is that Aaron Donald, in a joint practice between the Rams and the Bengals, looks like he lost his cool and had a couple of helmets in his hand and started swinging those helmets at people. It has created a lot of conversation about what the league can do. It has become very clear very quickly that the league is telling everybody they do not police joint practices. If you're just tuning in, as I've been saying throughout the course of the entire afternoon, I understand that. But as is referenced in the collective bargaining agreement, they also have the ability to punish somebody for actual or threatened physical violence against another person, or anything that is done that is a, let's see, conduct that undermines or puts at risk the integrity of the NFL. So it seems to me like some of it can fall under that category. But the more we hear from insiders, the more it's made clear that the league is hoping the team steps in. So somebody knows the team and knows the player better than most of us is DeMarco Farr, always doing great work as the LA Rams sideline analyst for ESPN LA 710. DeMarco, always appreciate your time, man. First and foremost,
you guys did not have me on to talk about a camp fight, did you?
I mean, that's my question. Is it a big, I mean, you played, is it a big deal?
Look, it's hot, it's camp. Tempers were the temperature was rising. I mean, look, you're going against other people in a practice setting. You get to do something in football you don't normally do. I saw you on Wednesday. I get to go against you again on Thursday. Who plays twice? So, of course, when you watch the film, there's going to be like, I'm going to get that guy back, or he embarrassed me. So it gets hot. There's a lot of camp fights. Now, what you can't do is go swinging helmets. We got that. You've got to do a little better job of controlling yourself. But things get heated. I mean, we've seen worse. We've seen worse in games. This is just normal practice stuff that happens. And this isn't the first time I've seen the guy swing a helmet. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny how wide this has gone, but it was something that happened in practice. And as soon as it happened, practice ended. The Bengals ran off the field and the Rams broke it down and we went to lunch. And that was that.
Interesting. So, DeMarco, I think that some people would say this is not normal practice stuff with a helmet being swung or multiple helmets being swung. Do you get any sense, though, that some sort of discipline could be coming the way of Aaron Donald? Because, as Fitz mentioned, it would not be coming from the league, but rather the Rams themselves.
You know what? I probably would think after this, because of who did it and what. Like I said, this is not the first time. I remember when the Rams scrimmaged the Cowboys when they first moved back to Los Angeles and it turned into a Pier 6 brawl. Not just a normal traditional football fight, but, I mean, a sucker punch fest. So we've seen worse. But I would bet some sort of rule comes out after this, like the league coming down on players if this happens in practice, like the same as it would in a game. But, you know, it's hard to do in training camp. Some of these guys aren't going to be here anymore. That's just the way it is. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure Sean McVay has already talked to his guys. He wasn't very happy. He hasn't been a happy camper this entire camp. He's doing exactly what a defending championship coach should do. He's expecting more out of his star players, so I'm sure he's not happy. So whatever the league does, it's not going to even come close to what McVay is doing to his own guys for that practice yesterday. I think they missed out on like 20 plays. I think that bothers him the most because, you know, practice got canceled.
All right. Indulge me for one more question on this, and then I promise we'll move to actual football, to Marco. But what would you say to fans right now that are screaming, this is Myles Garrett all over, just practice instead of a game? How would you respond to them?
Okay, it's practice. It's, like I said, it's a different setting. You can't get away with this in games. And look, you don't have 70,000 people watching you. So I would put more on the game than what happened in practice, especially a joint session. And look, I respect anybody that talks about football, loves the game, really. But this is one of those things where you just have to be in there or be in those situations to know what happens. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. There's a lot of hurt feelings. Guys are about to get cut. Coaches aren't happy. So that's their disgust. Or when you're not performing like you should on the field, well, they get it from their coach. So it rolls downhill. So guys are going to be hot this time of year. So things like this happen. Like I said, I'm not condoning it. You have to do a little better job of controlling yourself, but this is not shocking. Like I said, I mean, within 15 minutes of this, I was eating a peanut butter sandwich and didn't think anything of it until I saw it on Twitter.
Wait, peanut butter and
I could
what?
Go for one,
like,
yes.
What kind of peanut butter are we talking about? Like,
jelly, please, right?
Is it peanut butter? Jelly, peanut butter, like fluff?
Maurice Jones-Drew whipped me. It was a straight-up peanut butter sandwich, and he looked at me like I had three heads.
You know what?
What's wrong with a peanut butter sandwich?
It's not terrible. I actually, every once in a while, do like a peanut butter sandwich. I just prefer some jelly on there. That's all. Peanut butter and banana sandwich, also really good.
Bananas are disgusting.
Sandwich, I would describe it as acceptable. Fits
stadium prepackaged wheat bread about 3 inches thick and like an inch and a half of peanut butter. Like, please, eat that. You know, that's what I was doing.
I think it's acceptable. That. All right. So let's talk football here. And you mentioned how Sean McVay is trying to get his team ready to defend its Super Bowl championship. As you size up this roster, what are areas in which it can be better than last year? And what are the questions they have to answer?
Wow, good question. You know, watching Allen Robinson, look, I was a big Robert Woods fan. I was hurt. And then I saw Allen Robinson, and I was less hurt. He's a big target. And, you know, Cooper Kupp has been making it look easy. Up until yesterday, until Aaron was swinging helmets, he had no challenger. I mean, he was getting bored. I mean, they couldn't block him. Same with Cooper Kupp. He makes it look easy. But then with Allen Robinson, you're thinking those two guys are probably going to see, what, a third of Matthew Stafford's pass attempts, if you're smart, if they're healthy. So that goes to you got to protect Matthew Stafford for that to happen. So, you know, I guess Allen Robinson, you know, be coupled with Cooper Kupp, that will change the offense, the passing game some. But who's going to make up for Van Jefferson right now? Tutu Atwell has been, you know, lighting it up out here, but that's practice. You're not being hit yet, so we'll see what happens in the game. But, you know, how do you cover up for Van Jefferson right now, and how do you get Allen Robinson going? I guess that's the question. And then, can you protect Matthew Stafford? And if you can't, what do you do then? Because the Bengals, I think, gave up 53 sacks and wound up in the Super Bowl. So can you protect Matthew Stafford? And if you can't, what do you do then? That would be a question I'd ask Sean McVay.
We're talking to DeMarco Farr, L.A. Rams sideline analyst for ESPN L.A. 710. I'm Bart and Hahn, Field Yates, Jason Fitz in for the guys. And you just mentioned McVay a couple of times. It's not that long ago that we were hearing rumors that McVay was sort of burnt out, may just want to walk away, then maybe TV, now he's back. You've seen him. What's his energy level like right now compared to what you're used to?
You know what? He's having fun. I think that's the cool thing. I mean, he's still having fun coaching ball, just like, you know, he preaches have fun playing ball. So, you know, look, I could see how you might want to step away after the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the top of Mount Everest. You might want to take a break. But, I mean, same with Aaron Donald. When he said he was going to retire in the offseason, that sounds good right after the Super Bowl. But I'm sure your competitive juices are going to get kicked into high gear just like anyone else if you're a competitive person. So, but you have to make him happy, and you have to pay him what he's worth. So, you know, getting all that situation taken care of, making sure that he's happy there, which means you have a competitive, happy football team. But yeah, at some point, I see him taking a step away from football, but not right now. I think he's enjoying himself way too much.
How's Stafford's elbow look?
Good. You know, you guys like baseball, right? It's the same as those pitchers and the way he throws from odd angles. I mean, he's got one of the best whips in the National Football League, like all time. He can get it to anywhere, from any platform. So, you know, all those pass attempts in Detroit plus last year, that's going to take a toll on you. But, yeah, the guy can still whip it. The thing is, it would be nice to go back to, like, 1980s L.A. Rams ball and run the football. Take some pressure off him and save that arm a little bit. It is what it is. But, if you can protect him, keep him upright, keep him healthy, like you said, with the receivers you have and the plan that you have with Sean McVay, you can get the ball to any spot on the field with velocity.
DeMarco, next time you're making one of those peanut butter sandwiches, just a suggestion. Remember, I grew up a fat kid, all right? If you put a little butter on that peanut butter, like,
hold on, DeMarco,
butter.
You put set a little
this
butter. Man straight,
hold on.
DeMarco.
Now, here's the only thing: like peanut butter has butter.
That is so mean.
If you put the butter on the peanut butter, like it just like it slides right down that way. Like it eases that peanut butter, in, so you don't have
peanut
to go
butter and butter. Yeah. What is the
you're
matter
so
with
evil.
You?
You just like taught me how to make crack. That's bad.
I'm telling you. You know,
doing that now.
It'll change your life, and you're welcome. You're welcome in advance. DeMarco, we appreciate your insight, man. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Have a good season, buddy.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
Peanut butter and butter is a delight.
It's disgusting.
No, it's a delight. Bananas are disgusting.
You're one of those guys. You're like the Will Levis of ESPN. Do you put mayonnaise in your coffee?
No, mayonnaise is also disgusting. But butter,
mayonnaise. I mean, it's like my dad.
Yeah, mayonnaise. Mayo.
My dad be like, "Can I have a turkey sandwich with extra mayonnaise?" You're like, "Dad, it's mayonnaise."
Yeah, I hate it either way.
Oh, very strong.
I hate it unless Dukes wants me to call the Dukes Mayo Bowl. In which case, Dukes, I love mayonnaise.
He's available. Mayo.
That's
available.
Mayonnaise. Now I'm going to consider myself
mayonnaise.
Yeah. No. Like all those years in the South, like you just put butter on everything, makes it better. It's a weekend of final weekend of preseason. That's butter for everybody. What are the biggest things Field is looking to see? We'll get to that, but Field has to tell you first about Body Armor.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hard-working hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you at the top of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Buy any one Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink. More than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 years and older.
Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Field Yates, Jason Fitz in for the guys. We told you earlier this weekend there's actual college football that counts. Well, yeah. This is the last weekend of fake pro football, and frankly, I'm here for it. Everybody else likes to, you know what, on the preseason. I don't know what. Dump on it. We'll say dump on the preseason.
Save yourself there.
I don't mind preseason football. It's fun to watch when, you know, my heart doesn't race and I don't think I'm going to die midway through every game. But there are some significant things to look for this weekend across the NFL landscape. And, you know, I think one of the most important things to a lot of people listening is what's going to happen at quarterback when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because it's Mitchell Trubisky, fine, great, good.
Mitch or Mitchell, what do we think?
It was Mitch and then became Mitch.
Earlier. Do we think that Mitchell is the name of all names where it goes both ways? Because I'm only aware of, there are others obviously, but the two most prominent Mitch/Mitchells right now in the football world, Mitch/Mitchell Trubisky and Mitch/Mitchell Schwartz, and both of them seem content with whichever name you call them.
I mean, I think I don't really have a hot take. Like, I do appreciate it, though, if you want to be Mitchell. Like, very few people in the world ever call me Jay. Like, I get a lot of Jason. I get a lot of Fitz. Very few people ever call me Jay. But a lot of people that are Jason are called Jay. And that's just, yeah. You know, so like,
it fits to me.
I mean, see, that fits to everybody. It happened since there were like six Jason F's in my sixth grade class.
Wow.
That was the first year that I became Fitz, and it's been that way ever since. Now that I've shared, like, you guys are my therapist, let's talk to the therapy that all Steelers fans need when it comes to Mitchell Trubisky. Because remember, Diana Rossini, always plugged in, ESPN NFL reporter, said this about the Steelers starting quarterback position and Trubisky's standing there.
While this competition is heating up and all you hear are great things about this rookie, I was told by a Steelers source last night that this is Mitchell Trubisky's job to lose. He is the starter in Pittsburgh, as good as Kenny's playing. And the organization has been very impressed with Pickett's play on the field and his overall knowledge in the classroom. But for now, this is Trubisky's job.
You buying that field? Is Mitch Trubisky going to be the starting quarterback when we start the season?
I think so, and there are a couple of reasons why. One, he has played well enough to earn it sounds like, based off the reports from Steelers training camp. And two, I will always defer to this logic when it comes to a quarterback who's a rookie and he's competing with the guy who is not an all-star but also not washed. Is that it's so much easier for the team to start with the veteran, and if he plays poorly, turn the keys over to the rookie. Because if you start with Kenny Pickett and he stumbles out of the gates, all of a sudden everybody's sitting there saying, let's bring Mitch in. Next thing you know, you've destroyed the confidence of your first round pick. And for the long-term viability of the Pittsburgh Steelers, it is more important that Kenny Pickett is a legit starter in the NFL than Mitch Trubisky is a legit starter in the NFL. If Trubisky's no good after this year, you're going to cut him. Move on. It was a worthwhile swing to take $7 million for a quarterback. It's a veteran. It's worth it. So I think the team is going to defer to that logic. Start out of the gates with Mitch, who's solid. And by the way, if Mitch is playing really good football, he'll continue to play, because no one's going to be saying, we used a pick on Kenny Pickett if you're 5-2. They're going to be saying, yeah, this was the plan. Bridge the gap until we get to Kenny Pickett in time. We see this all the time. All the time. I think ultimately the Steelers do end up going with Mitch Trubisky as their starter.
You have opened my eyes today.
Oh.
A couple of times.
Good. With
quarterback takes that are really solid, because your experience around the league matters a little bit in the way sometimes we think. Like, sometimes I'm really proud of the fact that I think I can be the voice of the fan on ESPN Radio. I can come in and really express what it's like to yell at your radio and know that the people on the other side are obviously idiots because they don't think enough of your favorite team. Like, I embrace that. This is twice today. Trey Lance and now Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Where you have reminded me that organizations have a long-term approach to a position that matters so much for the next 10 to 15 to 20 years.
In some cases.
But your point is a valid one here, that A, if you're Mike Tomlin, you're not worried about your job. So you're not coaching like you're worried about your job. If you're the Steelers, you understand short-term and long-term are both things that you're achieving, but long-term matters most when it comes to the quarterback position. And you're looking at it and saying, hey, I got to do whatever's right to make sure that Kenny Pickett can be my starter for the next decade. If you're the 49ers, you're looking at Trey Lance and saying, even if we have to take a tiny step back this year, if it means we found our quarterback for the next 15 years, that can at times be worth it. The 49ers being run with a much more secure, like when you've got a coach and GM that have long-term contracts, they can afford to be a little more flippant with the timeline.
Correct. Because if this was the Chicago Bears like last year, right, Matt Nagy felt like a dead man walking.
Right.
And he went with Andy Dalton to begin the season. And even though there are still questions that Justin Fields has to answer, if Justin Fields had 17 games last year and had been bad from start to finish, Bears fans could have said to themselves, hey, you know what? He's a rookie. This stuff happens. Not a great offensive line, not a great group of wide receivers. It's all about 2022 and 2023 and beyond. It's different. If Bill Belichick, well, they had the rookie quarterback last year and he actually played awesome, as we all know. But if there was there are organizations around the NFL right now that could not afford to do it the way that the Steelers and the 49ers are going about it right now. This wouldn't fly elsewhere. It just wouldn't. And it's just a reality of the way the NFL operates. And because they have the cachet internally, both in San Francisco and Pittsburgh, if Mike Tomlin says this is the plan, every Steelers fan says, yes, coach.
Well, and he has the resume to back that up.
Of course, it
speaks to change in organization or lack thereof. Now, one organization that has seen its fair share change for a lot of reasons in the last year is my beloved Raiders. So in talking to Jeremy Fowler earlier today, my little thingies went up. Oh, I should really work on that, too.
I think you say antenna. You don't pronounce
antennae,
the plural version.
Antenna.
I think you might spell it differently, but you still say antenna, don't you?
I don't know. My radar went a-popping, let's say that way. When it came to something that Jeremy Fowler said, ESPN senior NFL reporter with us earlier, about my beloved Raiders and last year's first-round draft pick, Alex Leatherwood. Check it out.
I expect them to look at the waiver wire. Check that out over the next 3 to 4 days. There'll be a lot of players cut. Could be some decent players that will help them. And then you still have, potential trade. The Raiders with Alex Leatherwood, who's a right tackle, but he's played some left in college. That's an option. That's a guy that multiple teams I've talked to are watching closely as a potential trade target.
Multiple teams looking at last year's first-round draft pick. And that's one thing to watch this weekend, because the Raiders are decimated on the right side of the line, and much has been made about the fact that in the preseason, when they've gone to Alex Leatherwood, A, it hasn't gone well, B, he's found himself pulled from the game. I'm not sure if you're a new regime, you don't really care about who the last regime took anyway.
Correct. Yeah.
They already proved that with cutting Kenyon Drake, who got big money from John Gruden. This is Alex Leatherwood. This could be a win for everybody, because if Alex Leatherwood really wants to grow into a player in the NFL, I'm not sure that the environment's going to be there for him, given the way everybody seems to feel about everything right now. Sometimes maybe a player needs a fresh start, and the organization, even though they're absolutely wrecked on one side of the line, could also be looking for a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, because if you're the GM and Mike Mayock that selected him a year ago, you have to go to the owner and justify it. Whereas if you're Dave Ziegler, the new Raiders GM, you go to Mark Davis if you got an offer on the table that you decide is suitable for Alex Leatherwood, even if it's for a sixth-round pick or something. You go to Mark Davis and you say, hey, bottom line is he's not good enough to play for us. And would you rather have a guy who makes us worse, or would you rather have a sixth-round pick next year? And it's not a perfect outcome by any stretch, but it's suitable. Sometimes I wonder whether NFL regimes need to be a bit more loyal to prior regime decisions, but I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean,
he's definitely named to keep an eye on. There are several this weekend that we're going to keep an eye on as trade targets, but he sort of checks the classic boxes of not playing well, young enough, and affordable enough that if you're a different team, you could justify it, and if you're the Raiders, you're good enough that even without him, you can still achieve what your goals are for this season.
Those are just a couple of the battles. Quickly, one more. Obviously, Pete Carroll's talked a lot about the coach or the quarterback situation. Do you have any sort of leaning on which way you would go to be the Seahawks starter?
It'll be Geno Smith. That's my take. It's going to be Geno Smith. He's been the one all training camp. Drew Lock missed a game, a preseason game due to COVID, which preseason games are not the end-all be-all, but they do matter for a quarterback battle. I think it'll be Geno Smith to begin.
Well, all eyes will be on that as we continue to look forward. We're going to let you get your questions in for field. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get some expert. Like, this is free help for your fantasy draft coming up. We'll help you get all the questions that you need answered.
Win your league. How's that sound?
Do you always win your league?
No.
Do you get tired of me and the rest of your friends blowing you up with fantasy questions?
No,
about week
I don't.
Four?
The only thing that I don't like is when someone texts me. I do the Fantasy Football Now show on Sunday from 10 a.m. Eastern Time to 1 p.m. on ESPN2. Please check it out. They'll text me at like 12:45. There are two things that bother me. 12:45, three lineup questions. And I'm like, dude, we have literally 15 minutes left in the show. My phone may not even be with me. Or someone asked me a question. They say, hey, would you start Jason Fitz or Field Yates in your flex spot this weekend? And I say, yeah, you know, I think I'll go with Jason Fitz. And they go, really? Why'd you ask?
Oh, that's amazing.
They just want confirmation of their own suspicions, right? But if you don't want the opportunity for me to tell you the opposite of what you want, then don't ask. So those are my two beefs with. Otherwise, though, have at it. I become, like, so popular during the month of August. People I went to high school with, I'm 15 years removed from high school. 17 years removed from high school. Field, what's up, man? Haven't talked to you since the time we both had braces, but, and it's like, do I even bother answering this question? The answer is yes.
Oh, look at that. That's why he's America's fantasy football hero. Field Yates going to take your questions. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, one receiver told us to get the popcorn ready as he praised his quarterback. Again, we'll tell you about it. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Field Yates, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Field Yates, Jason Fitz in for the guys. We all know the game isn't over till it's over, so next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts to take your car into overtime. Get the right parts at the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. 122 million is a lot. There are more parts to the offense right now of the Miami Dolphins. We'll get to your calls on fantasy football in just a second. But it's a day that ends in Y, which means we're hearing yet again from Tyreek Hill about how glorious his situation is in Miami. Tyreek was on Sirius XM NFL Radio, had this to say about the Dolphins offense.
I've had a chance to just watch Tua, you know, sling the football around. And the guy can actually throw the ball, you know, all over the field, you know, and, you know, he has so many weapons, you know, at his disposal, you know, that is crazy. You know, he got Jalen, myself, Raheem, and as you say, he got pass-catching tight ends. This offense is going to be crazy. So I'm just here to just say, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a great season for the Miami Dolphins.
You getting your popcorn ready?
Yeah, I mean, because it's the football season. I just feel like every time Tyreek Hill is talking, it's like he's selling us on how this offense and how this, that, and the third is going to be so great in Miami, where it's like every other interview with, like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, I get that, well, he's on the other side of this, but, like, you know, Tom Brady or whoever it is, Matthew Stafford, the tone is like, yeah, you know, we're really hoping to put together a good season. We got to work hard. We can't let our guard down. We got to be determined, right? It's like they're setting the bar low because they know they're going to be high. They're going to be great. Miami, it's like, we're going to tell you we have to be great. Like, at this point, can we all agree on one thing? The NFL season needs to start tomorrow. I can't take one more positive or negative practice report. Every team is either, you know, the Patriots are either going to score 2 points a game this year or they're going to be fine. Meanwhile, like, you know, you've got players, you got teams that they're either going to be like the NFL MVP this year or they're going to be cut tomorrow, right? It's like there's no in-between anymore. And so for this Dolphins offense, yeah, they're going to be pretty good. I got a lot of playmakers there. Tua's pretty good. I don't know if he's great. If he's great, they're going to be great. And if he's not that great, then a lot of people who have said a lot of things about Tua are going to say, I told you so. Let's get to the football.
I love the concept of Tua being great. I also think it's kind of weird when you're in this system and you like, so there's three reasons that you do all this hype. One would be because you want clicks for your podcast, but he's saying the same thing over and over and over again. So I don't think that
this is somebody else's show. So they don't need clicks on SiriusXM radio, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But in the dial, the channel 80.
Number two, you do it because you feel like your quarterback needs to be built up.
Right.
And I've never gotten that impression from Tua, you know, it's just the way he was at college. Like that just seems seems weird. And number three is that you're just trying to build everybody up. It's just all of it feels so misplaced. Maybe Tyreek Hill's just coming in and thinking that that's what he needs to be, a constant politician, used car salesman, but that's how it comes across.
Well, it feels to me like, Tua, you can say whatever you want about him. He does a great job of blocking out the noise. Like, I'm not sure he even hears as much of the criticism as you would think he hears.
I think that's fair. I mean, in college, he didn't seem to give a damn about any of it. And I would think it's even tougher at some point in college when there's heaped up expectations for somebody that's battling with Jalen Hurts at the time for the job. And, you know, it just everything from the stories you're told about how he was raised, even like his dad was very much like, is what it is. So what next? What like all so what now? What like all of these sort of isms that were part of his life?
The guy lives like a life of almost like invincibility off the field, right? Like he got married and no one knew about it until someone somehow found it on the internet or whatever and then like posted about it. And Tua was like, that's kind of messed up. He does a good job of living not in the world that we spend most of our time toiling in, Twitter and the sports talk space, but like his own world, which is a good thing, an admirable quality.
You spend a lot of time toiling in the world of fantasy football, and people want to ask you questions. Field DH, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got questions for Field. Let's go to Mel in Jersey. Mel, what you got? What you got for Field?
Is this Mel Kiper?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Can I first by saying that, start off by saying, I think Tariq is actually starting the Dolphins a lot too, but I know he got the talent to back it up, and I'm really excited to see the Dolphins.
Now, amen.
My fantasy points, right? So, it's three quick questions. I'm going to just run them at you. You
can
just answer.
Yep.
So first question is, how do you think Daniel Jones is going to do this fantasy season? Is he going to be a really good productive quarterback or what?
I think he's going to be good enough to be a bye week fill-in for like a 10 or 12 team league. In a two quarterback league, obviously he'll be a starter. The guy's an awesome athlete. And if he just runs enough, he'll be super useful in fantasy. And if we learned one thing from Brian Daboll, their new head coach, is that he's willing to let his starting quarterback run as he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo.
All right, so that sounds great. That kind of answered the second question right here, which is going to be who you think going to have a better fantasy season, Tyrod Taylor or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, yep. Agreed.
Great. And last question, who do you think on the Giants is going to be the most productive for fantasy points?
So I think if I'm going to take a swing at a pass catcher, I'm just going to swing on Kadarius Toney, who I know has had trouble staying on the field. Health has been a concern for his. He's the most talented pass catcher on that roster, though. The guy is an absolute freak with the football in his hand. So where he's being drafted right now, Mel, is like the 15th, 16th round. If he does not pan out, so what? Like, there are so many players that fit that mold of, if it doesn't work out, you can cut bait on them. So Kadarius Toney would be my favorite one that I think has the most upside, more so than Kenny Golladay or Sterling Shepard.
Thanks for the call, Mel. Appreciate it. Let's go to Daniel in Ohio next. Daniel, what you got for Field?
Okay, I had a question about Leatherwood. I don't even care anymore because I'm selfish and I care about my fantasy team.
Let's go.
Okay. Amen.
I'm in this football writers league. He's local. He's kind of a big deal. He specializes in auctions. He's a lawyer. Now, I'm not going to get into names. I'm in his keeper league. I need your opinion. I'm not going to get my whole team. I have one spot left in my seven keeper. It's two quarterback super flex league, seven keeper, PPR. What else? And there's one more, two QP. I'm so sorry. But anyway, that's it. Two QBR, two QB. Oh, best ball. It's best ball.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm in a best ball, two QB, super flex,
PPR
auction
guy.
League. It's yep. Great. I have Ramondre Stevenson for $1. And I also have Mike Evans on his last year of his contract for $23. I have one spot left. Who do you think I should go with? The cheap dollar flyer with Ramondre Stevens or the $23 pay up for Mike Evans, who's going to get volume?
Final year of his deal, right? Final year of the deal for Mike Evans. That's, you said, how many years would Ramondre be able to stay on your roster?
I picked him up for $1 last year on free agency, so I keep him for $1, and I have 6 years left on him.
6 years left? It's Ramondre Stevenson then. You have no idea what's going to happen this year with Ramondre Stevenson, but he'll have a couple of weeks to make your worth your while, and Damian Harris is a free agent after this year. Ramondre Stevenson could be the Patriots starting running back this year, or even more likely next year. There's way too much value there. Mike Evans is awesome, and he's great in best ball. But this is sort of that you're threading the needle of what helps me now versus what can help me for the next 6 years.
Those are just a couple of the calls. We'll keep taking more calls, more questions for Field Yates. We're letting you guys get ready for your fantasy football draft. Just, I don't know, when you raise a glass with all your buddies, just give Field a shout-out while you do it. That's all we ask in return. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. More of your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More questions for Field and Fantasy next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Field Yates, Jason Fitz filling in.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Field Yates, Jason Fitz. Jets wide receiver Denzel Mims requested a trade, Field, and we've talked about a lot about what to look for this weekend, but you know, in a market where we're going to see a lot of cuts and we're going to see a lot of trades, Denzel Mims doesn't feel like he's getting the usage that he needs to justify his skills, and he wants to take his skills somewhere else. What kind of value do you think there is out there for Denzel?
If you're the Jets, if you can get a draft pick, you take it, in my opinion, right? He's at best your fourth, maybe fifth wide receiver. It's kind of a lost cause here. He's unhappy. He's made it very clear publicly that he's unhappy. If you can get a day three draft pick, I do it right away.
Yeah, and this speaks to some of just what's going to be part of the process for the Jets. The Jets are not a great football team. I think talent-wise, they're better than they were last year, as I've said many times on radio over the last 2 weeks. They have a brutal schedule. It's tough to play
early,
the schedule
early,
game.
Yeah,
but the early portion of the schedule is particularly difficult, and I still don't know what they have in Zach Wilson. So there's more question marks than the answers for the Jets. And if you're Denzel Mims, maybe a fresh start in a different quarterback situation is something you feel good about. You know?
Perhaps. Yeah, they could be. And, you know, this is the time of the year as well that, as we talked about with Jeremy Fowler, names bubble up in trade conversations. There's about to be a massive roster reduction, and for the Jets, you know, some of this was kind of written on the wall when they drafted Garrett Wilson, after drafting Elijah Moore last year, after signing Corey Davis in free agency last year, after retaining Braxton Berrios on a 2-year contract this offseason. And, you know, the Jets don't necessarily have a guaranteed star in that group. There are some guys that look very promising, and certainly Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore, perhaps none more so than them. But I still think that this is a team that has enough wide receiver depth at the moment that they can justify a trade of Denzel Mims. You don't want unhappy campers at your camp.
Yeah, the hard part with all of it is just trying to figure out how wide receivers are valued now. And we talked about it at the draft. Like, I think if you're one of the greats, you are going to get paid. If you're not one of the greats, you become disposable and somebody just believes they can get you in the next draft. So, you know, it's tough right now to be a lower third of the NFL wide receiver.
Well, and also you never want to admit a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't want to sell low. That's just how it goes. So until something happens, the Jets are going to say all the kind of things that make you believe, oh, yeah, there's a chance he could stick around. And Robert Saleh has already said, like, yeah, we're not giving up hope yet. We think there's a place for him here. We'll see what happens. I tend to think that a trade probably is more likely than not.
Yeah, I mean, might as well trade for him just because the value on his contract is so small. Like, there's so little risk in doing that. That's, you know, some of these trades we're going to see are going to be low-round draft picks for players that essentially you're just trying to take a flyer on before you get into the season. So we'll see how it plays out for the Jets, obviously. In the meantime, we're going to get you back to some thoughts on field and fantasy football as everybody
gets.
Let's go. It's fantasy with field? Should be a thing.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. The ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speakers. Field Yates, Jason Fitz in for the guys. Tune in to an NL battle Sunday. Cards host the Braves. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern and on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, 7 p.m. on ESPN. You guys are chiming in. A lot of you guys are going to have your fantasy football draft in the next week or two, and we have the opportunity right now to hang out with the great Field Yates. He's doing God's work, so might as well have Field help you guys figure out how to dominate your fantasy draft. We'll get some more calls in here. Field, you feel good? You feel ready?
So ready. I've never been ready for anything more in my life.
All right, let's go to Justin in Illinois. Justin, you've got the very ready to crush it. Field Yates, what you got?
Hey, man, I got a league tonight I'm drafting in. It's the first time I've played in it. It's a five-person all-points league, so there's no head-to-head matchups. I just don't know how you guys would start your draft off, you know, like heavy on running backs or go with receivers.
Yeah, well, here's the good news, is that because it's a five-person league, you don't have to worry nearly as much about the running back. I'm assuming, because, you know, normally I'd say you have to get them because they're going to fall by the wayside quicker than you realize. You could wait until the third round to address your running back spot. So I would be thinking, I know that these are like too much of a crutch sometimes, but if you just go to the projections and follow along with Mike Clay's advice, and who does the projections here at ESPN, like, go big. Go big early with Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase early in your draft, perhaps earlier than you might expect. That, to me, was the biggest thing here. So you don't have to worry quite as much about how scarce the options normally are at running back, because in a five-team league, you're going to find some.
You just go out there and get yourself Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, and Darren Waller, and worry about the rest later. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm the worst. Don't play in the league with me. Brandon in Arizona. Brandon, what do you got, brother?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Brandon.
So I have a PPR league, three-player keeper league. You get to keep them for 3 years.
Okay.
I've got Stephon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb as two of my keepers.
Agreed.
The question I have for you is, who would you keep between Michael Thomas, Michael Pittman, or Leonard Fournette?
I would keep Leonard Fournette, and while there's a lot of value there in Michael Pittman because he's a wide receiver, he's got a guarantee to age better. Fournette's just, I mean, he is primed for another massive year. He was top five in the NFL in terms of running back targets, receptions, and yards last year. In PPR scoring, that is so valuable. He's a top 10 running back for me this year. I'd keep him, although it's close with Michael Pittman.
All right, look at that. He's just, I don't know how you just have all this stuff. Like,
well, I don't have important stuff in my brain.
How much would I have to tip Field Yates to, like, I could put a little, like, pointy hair, like, I put a little product, we'll take it straight up pointy, and I'll get you fake tattoo sleeves, and then you just show up at my drafts for
Deal.
Me? Oh, my God.
That sounds
this
great.
Is amazing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Chris in Minnesota, thanks for calling the show. What you got, Chris?
All right, so it's my first year in the league. It's a super flex.
Love it.
It's a keeper league, but the position players move up two rounds. So I got Kamara in round four, so he would be my second round. And I'm between DK Metcalf, round eight, so he'd move to six. Lamar Jackson, round three, he'd be my first rounder. Or Marquise Brown would be my ninth round pick. I'm just trying to figure out my second keeper.
Would Marquise Brown move up from ninth to seventh, or would he move up from 11th to ninth?
11th to ninth.
That's a really good value right there. You said Alvin Kamara is already one that you're keeping. Lamar, you can make a case for because it's a super flex league. I don't know how many quarterbacks are being kept otherwise. I tend to lean here, though, with Marquise Brown because that way, like, you kind of bookend it. You've got your premium round pick in Alvin Kamara, and then you have your discount round pick in Hollywood Brown, who I think is going to mash early on this season because no DeAndre Hopkins for the first 6 weeks. And then I know DeAndre Hopkins still rules. His targets dropped dramatically last year. He dropped down to 6.1 targets per game. Part of the deal for Arizona wasn't just trading to make them better and make them more balanced amongst wide receivers. it's possible that a year or two from now, Hollywood Brown is the full-time number one wide receiver for Kyler Murray.
Oh, this is going to be wild to keep an eye on. Real quick, Caleb in Alabama, if you can smash it in quick, we'll get you in, buddy. What you got?
Okay, I've got a trade. I've already got Patrick Mahomes as my number one QB.
Okay.
I've got a trade on the board for Burrow and Gesicki for Kelsey and Tua. They countered. They want Mike Evans for Michael Pittman added to the trade. Do I pull the trigger, yes or no?
Is it two quarterback league?
It is a two QB league, and my first quarterback is Mahomes.
Yeah, so Mahomes, and you could have Joe Burrow. I would do it. The quarterbacks are just too valuable in that league to ignore, so I would do it. You get the opportunity to upgrade a quarterback. It's going to be easier to find wide receiver upgrades elsewhere in that league. Give me the quarterback upgrade. I take Joe Burrow.
There's no upgrade over Field Yates.
Yes,
I can
is.
Tell you that. He is the best of the best. I'm Jason Fitz. We appreciate you spending your Friday with us. Canny and Carlin are next. Congrats to Chris Canny
getting
married later today. Let's Don't go. Screw this Good up, day. Canny. Thanks for hanging out with us on ESPN Radio. We appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.